Welcome back to The Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Cardinal World Series champion Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. I'm Randy Carricker, and we head to the Braun and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Michael Huff is the director of youth baseball for the White Sox, and he was one of the people that was at the forefront of trying to get Michael to be a baseball player with the White Sox. Michael Huff on 101 ESPN, thanks so much for taking some time. How are you doing today?
I am doing good, and yourselves? Great to be on.
Oh, we're doing well also, and you know this, everybody is caught up in The Last Dance, and we want to hear everything and anything Michael Jordan, and while it's not really covered so much, or at least up to this point, about Michael playing baseball, I have got to hear about the phone call that you got that basically said, hey, we need you, Michael, we need you to come teach somebody how to play baseball. How did this all go down with you and Michael Jordan?
Well, I think it started when I got traded to the White Sox sort of as a defensive replacement, a guy that could play all three outfield positions, some of the infield. And over the 91, 92, 93 seasons, that was generally the role. A little chance to start, but mostly giving guys a day off or going in late defensively for a guy like Bo Jackson when he was in left field, or even Tim Raines. And so that winter of 93, 94, I got the call from Jerry Reinsdorf saying, Mike, where are you going to be working out this winter? Because we'd love for you to work out at the ballpark. And I live north of the city, worked out with a friend of mine, teammate Joe Girardi. We both went to Northwestern, which is north of the city. So we would go to Northwestern. And I kind of asked Jerry, you know, why do you want me to come to the ballpark? And he's like, we want you to teach someone how to catch and throw a baseball. And I kind of scratched my head thinking, well, that's my job. Can you tell me who this person is? And he said, no, but you'll hear in a few weeks, but would you, you know, could I get you to come down and teach someone how to catch and throw a baseball? And of course I said, yes, do whatever I can for the organization. And a few days later, I, you know, find out it's Michael Jordan. So for that guy, I quickly said, yeah, no problem.
So you didn't have to wait several weeks. I mean, you found out in a few days, and I know they wanted to keep it as big a secret as they possibly could.
Yes, and so we went to sort of 10 o'clock in the morning. We would be at the stadium lifting, stretching, doing different types of exercises, and then going just across the highway on the south side of the city to the Illinois Institute of Technology, where they had a couple gyms, curtains pulled back, and lots of security guards. So it would just sort of be the two of us. Sometimes my younger brother Matt would join us because he was in the minor leagues. There may be another player from the White Sox organization that was around that would work out with us. But if, for the most part, it was just Mike and I, very quiet, sort of right after the first of the year, call it those 6 weeks leading up into spring training.
So what was it like that first day he shows up? And you've got some time to prepare, so you know you're going to be teaching Michael Jordan. What was it like when he arrived for the first time, and how were you feeling?
I was very intimidated because this was a guy being from Chicago and loving the Bulls that I really enjoyed watching play basketball. And he walks in and I'm looking at him like, why are you here again? And you are so good. And why are you doing this again? So there was a little bit of awe from me. For him, it was a handout, look me right in the eyes. Michael, I greatly appreciate what you're doing. Herm Schneider, our trainer, Herm, tell me what you want me to do. And literally within 15 minutes of walking into the ballpark, he had humbled himself to being the student, not the master, and literally was very genuine in saying, teach me. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Don't be afraid to get in my face. And I know we're going 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Every day, don't be afraid to get in my face. So he was very genuine and very humble about wanting to learn the game of baseball and earning his stripes to get to the major leagues.
Michael Huff was the first member of the White Sox organization to start teaching Michael Jordan baseball. And you mentioned those intervening 2 days after Jerry Reinsdorf called you and before you found out it was Michael Jordan. My guess is that you probably had about a million names go through your head, but one of them wasn't Michael Jordan.
Exactly. Yeah, I went through the AAA guys. I went through every free agent outfielder. You know, I started thinking, is there going to be another Bo Jackson type person from a, you know, coming off an injury that, you know, was a great hitter, but they're going to try to throw in the outfield where, again, if we have a lead third at bat, you know, sixth inning, he gets a hit or a walk, I go to pinch run, and then I play defense the seventh, eighth, and ninth to try to hang on to a lead. And for those few days, I really couldn't come up with any other major leaguer. And like I said, I was thinking about our AAA or AA guys, and I knew there was no one there that, you know, was going to challenge me or ready for the major leagues.
Well, you know this. You know that as soon as you see somebody, even if you are driving around now, and you, well, maybe not now, but before a pandemic, you look at a park and you see somebody playing baseball, you know, like, if that guy's played before, if that guy's got a skill set. So when you got around Michael Jordan and you're watching him for the first couple of times, was there a skill set at all that bounced or that popped to you?
No, honestly, it was... You know, I would say once every week, once every other week, a security guard would roll a basketball toward the end of our practice on the court. Somehow that would miraculously show up. And Micah would just walk over and just like suction it into his hand, palm it, dribble it, shoot it, dunk it. And just you could see the basketball movements, the basketball athleticism. And in those first weeks, there was no baseball like flow, no baseball rhythm to his body. To his credit, he was genuine, saying, I know I have to unlearn certain things and learn new things. How do I get quicker? How do I have a better explosive first step on a baseball field, not just leaning against the guard or a forward who's covering me and having a good first step, but then using my weight and some of those dynamics and forces to get around someone? This is open space. Like, I have to learn how to move quickly in a different way. So initially, no. And again, to his credit, he knew he didn't have those basketball movements or those basketball traits. But every week over those 4, 5, 6 weeks that we were together, you could see improvement. And it was very fun to see it. And even in his eyes, when he would do something right or it would start to come a little bit more natural, you know, you could see the pride well up in him.
You know, Michael, I'm sure you're rooting for him. You know, you want him to do well while you're helping, you know, you're instructing him. But was there a time where you were like, oh, like, you've got to have a bunch of mixed emotions. One of them has to be, I want this guy to do well. I yep. want to be the one to have taught him how to do well. I also yep. don't want him to take my job. Like, so what's going on in your mind through all of this? And was there a point where you thought, you know, maybe he could actually be a big leaguer?
Yes and yes and yes, Chris. Great questions all. There was always other people around me saying, even the reporters, do you think this is a publicity stunt? Is this guy going to take your job this year? You know, are you really doing this? If you, just a layperson, were to see the two of us that first winter and that first spring working out together, nobody would think Michael Jordan was going to take Michael Huff's job. The question was always, his first full year of playing in the minor leagues, you know, he hit over 200. Yeah, that's not really that good, but the guy still stole 30 bases. Still had 50 RBIs. So as bad as he was in some ways, he actually was almost above average in others compared to other AA players. So in the back of my mind's eye, there was always the question of, when is he going to be good enough to move up from AA to AAA? When from AAA to the major leagues? And if that happens, is that 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road? And even in the back of my mind's eye, when I got traded at the end of that spring training to Toronto – and kind of got to watch him from afar, it was, is his body going to peak baseball body-wise, late 20s, maybe 30, by the time he gets good enough, will his skills start to diminish? Now, again, this is Michael Jordan, so like Tom Brady, he's going to be able to extend that, you know, window of great athleticism. But I think initially there was a little bit more from outside people, but when you saw us side-by-side, I don't think there was any baseball person that was going to say Michael Jordan's going to be playing for the White Sox, not Michael Huff.
Michael Huff is with us on 101 ESPN, and it's interesting, the other night when Sam Smith told the story about the three reporters at the table, we took care of you, we took care of you, and tonight we're going to take care of you. There's no doubt that Michael Jordan still has athletic arrogance, and you mentioned that he humbled himself so that you could teach him the game, but overall, do you think that baseball humbled Michael Jordan, the athlete?
Oh, yeah. I think he will tell you, you know, when you're back on a bus, when you're riding around and you're working your way up again. You know, he had been at the peak for so long and had won three championships and MVPs and scoring titles. I think there was something about the loss of the love of the game. You know, we all forget, too, his father had just, you know, been murdered. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a chance for Michael really to kind of recharge a battery. And like you said, he coming back from baseball into basketball, you hear Phil Jackson talk about the fact that he had a different outlook on his teammates, a different way to approach the game. So I do think there was a re-energizing and sort of a repositioning sports in his life, in his world, having to be on a bus and realizing, you know, I'm not the best guy on this team by far, and what is it going to take to get there again?
And Michael, one of my favorite Michael Jordan stories is how he took care of his double-A teammates by getting them a really nice bus.
Well, I'll tell you, let's go back to working out together. Michael's so humble. There were times, you know, 2 weeks into it, a security guard would look and say, you know, Michael, you always come decked out in this beautiful Nike gear and Huff is hodgepodge clothes and Herm Schneider, the trainer, is sort of White Sox stuff. How come you haven't gotten them anything? And he has this deer in the headlights look, like ashen face, like, oh my gosh. You look at the two of us. Do you guys want anything? Like, you haven't asked for anything. Do you want something? And we're like, no, we're fine. And he's like, what size are you? What size are you? And suffice to say, 2 days later, you know, there was two sets of sweats, two sets of shoes, you know, two sets of shirts for both of us. And then 2 weeks go by, and again, another security guard, hey, Mike, how come you haven't, like, offered these guys any autographs or anything? And he's just like, well, they haven't asked. And all of a sudden realizing everyone always asks him for an autograph because he's Michael Jordan, the basketball player. As a baseball player, he's just one of us, and he's like the worst of us. So we're not asking for an autograph, but 2 days later, there was four basketballs, baseballs, hats, like, what do you want me to sign? Who do you want me to sign them to? And so he was, again, very genuine, very humble about this and willing to give back to try to make the experience better for everybody. And again, one other story is on a Friday, he brings in Richard Dent, for you, those of you that remember the big, you know, defensive end for the Bears. And he jokingly says, Charles Barkley's coming off the DL, so we're going to fly out to Phoenix and play 36 holes of golf this weekend. And I look at him, I'm like, well, you're going to be back here Monday because I'm going to be here Monday, right? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, well, where are you flying out of? And he goes, O'Hare, which is northwest of the city, and we're on the south side. And it's like, all right, well, what time's your flight? And he's like, we got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. Didn't say anything. Nothing about, like, the flight. We do our stuff at the ballpark. We go over to IIT. Now he's having Richard Dent do drills with us and hit with us, and he's goofy, doesn't look at all. And the time goes on. I ask him a second time what time's the flight. The third time, it's getting to be like 2 o'clock, so we're getting ready to hit traffic going north. And I'm like, Michael, what time is your flight out of O'Hare? Because if we keep going, you're going to miss it. And he's like, Mike, I have my own plane. We will fly out when we get there. And after the 36 holes on Sunday, we will fly back Sunday night. So I will be here Monday. But just to have, you know, that not boastfulness, not arrogance, but to say, again, I'm the student. You're the teacher. I'm not going to be boastful. You tell me what to do. And as long as you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it. And that was the type of Michael that I got to know over those 6 weeks through that spring training before I got traded.
That is really cool. That is a neat experience, and I'm sure at the time it was different than it is looking back at it now. And not to totally shift gears here, Michael, but you got to play and teach, be a mentor for Michael Jordan, and you played with Bo Jackson, in my opinion, the biggest freak athlete that I've ever seen in my life. What was that monster like playing with?
Yeah, Bo was very jovial, very comical. Michael was very serious, very intense, but you're right. You know, you think about the greatest overall athlete of our generation. Bo Jackson has to be at the top of that list for the freakishness of his speed, his arm, his power, his coordination. But when Bo came to the White Sox, he had just been released by Kansas City, and he had the hip issue. And he came in just this goofy, fun, smiling, give you a hug, and you didn't want the hug because you would get squashed like a rag doll in this behemoth of a man. And just, he was so much fun to be around. And very similar to Michael, as we were in the outfield working together, as we were doing things together, as I was pinch running for Bo Jackson, who can say that? Now, granted, it was after he had the hip replaced, but, you know, I can still say I pinch ran for Bo Jackson.
You don't have to have the qualifier.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
He was, he never put himself above anybody. I mean, he never gave you the sense that he was better than you, even though he was better than you. And so that, I think, was part of the reason that 92 season, even though we had lots of injuries in Chicago, but 93, we had the great team that lost to the Blue Jays in the playoffs who won the World Series. In 94, they were so good, was because they had people, especially a Bo Jackson, who, again, arguably was the greatest all-around athlete of our, of that time, but was very humble and made everyone realize he was just a piece of the puzzle to make a team successful.
You know, you now being a youth instructor in the White Sox organization, do you have a, if you ever have a moment where you feel like a kid isn't listening, do you just say, hey, look, man, I was Bo Jackson's teammate, and I taught Michael Jordan how to play baseball, so just listen to what I'm telling you. Is that, do you ever do that, and does it work?
I don't really do that. What I do is I learn how to whistle really loud in the outfield, mostly to get Tim Raines' attention. Like, Lance Johnson was always focused. Tim, not so much out in left field. So I learned how to have a really loud blast whistle that would get even Tim Raines' attention. So when I see those one or two every now and then kids that aren't paying attention, I'll give that blast whistle where every kid will all of a sudden freak out. The bad one will turn and look, and I will kind of look at him and say, you know what, I think I know a little bit more about this game than you do. So if you can just give me a little bit more attention for the next 5 minutes, I promise we'll do a different activity and it will be a lot of fun. And usually they'll stay focused from that point on.
Michael Huff, you've given us information we can't get anywhere else. We really appreciate you taking some time with us. Thank you very much.
Not a problem, guys. Have a great show, and we'll talk soon.